Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, chapter entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Text number 34, Chaturshloki. The second verse of Chaturshloki. Ritirtam yat pratiyeta. Na prit. Na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyat atmano mayam yatabaso yatatmaha ritiratam yat. Ritē, without. Artam, value. Yat, that which. Pratiyeta, appears to be. Na, not. Pratiyeta, appears to be. Cha, and. Atmani, in relation to me. Tat, that. Vidyat, you must know. Atmana, my. Mayam, illusory energy. Yata, just as. Apasa, the reflection. Yata, as. Tamaha, the darkness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Translation responsibly. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me,
has no reality.
Know it as my illusory energy,
that reflection which appears to be in darkness.
So we can continue the purport. Although the reflectory energy of the Lord displays various illusions to the eyes of persons with a poor fund of knowledge, the sane person knows clearly that the Lord can act even from far, far beyond our vision by His different energies, just as fire can diffuse heat and light from a distant place. In the medical science of the ancient sages, known as the Ayurveda, there is a definite acceptance of the Lord's supremacy in the following words: Jagat Jonir Anichchasya Chid Anandaika Rupina Pumsosti Prakritir Nitya Pratichcha Yeva Baswataha Acheta Napi Chaitanya Yogena Paramatmanaha Akarod Vishwam Akilam Anityam Nataka Kritim. There is one Supreme Person who is the progenitor of this cosmic manifestation and whose energy acts as Prakriti, or the material nature, dazzling like a reflection. By such illusory action of Prakriti, even dead matter is caused to move by the cooperation of living energy of the Lord, and the material world appears like a dramatic performance to the ignorant eyes. The ignorant person, therefore, may even be a scientist or physiologist in the drama of Prakriti, but the same person knows Prakriti as the illusory energy of the Lord. By such a conclusion as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita, it is clear that the living entities are also a display of the Lord's superior energy, para Prakriti, just as the material world is a display of the Lord's inferior energy, apara Prakriti. The superior energy of the Lord cannot be as good as the Lord, although
There is very little difference between the energy and the possessor of the energy, or the fire and the heat. Fire is possessed of heat, but heat is not fire. This simple thing is not understood by the man with a poor fund of knowledge, who falsely claims that the fire and the heat are the same. This energy of the fire, namely heat, is explained here as a reflection, and not directly fire. Therefore, the living energy represented by the living entities is the reflection of the Lord, and never the Lord himself. Being the reflection of the Lord, the existence of the living entity is dependent on the Supreme Lord, who is the original light. This material energy may be compared to darkness, as actually it is darkness, and the activities of the living entities in the darkness are reflections of the original light. The Lord should be understood by the context of this verse. Non-dependence of both the energies of the Lord is explained as maya or illusion. No one can make a solution to the darkness of ignorance simply by the reflection of light. Similarly, no one can come out of material existence simply by the reflected light of the common man. One has to receive the light from the original light itself. The reflection of sunlight in the darkness is unable to drive out the darkness, but the sunlight outside the reflection can drive out the darkness completely. In darkness, no one can see things in a room. Therefore, a person in the dark is afraid of snakes and scorpions, although there may not be such things. But in the light, the things in the room can be clearly seen, and the fear of snakes and scorpions is at once removed. Therefore, one has to take shelter of the light of the Lord, as in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and not the reflective personalities who have no touch with the Lord. No one should hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who does not believe in the existence of the Lord. Such a person is already doomed, and any association with such a doomed person makes the associator also doomed. According to the Padma Purana, within the material compass, there are innumerable material universes, and all of them are full of darkness. Any living being beginning from the Brahmas, there are innumerable Brahmas in innumerable universes, to the insignificant ant, are all born in darkness. And they require factual light from the Lord to see him directly. Just as the sun can be seen only by the direct light of the sun. No lamp or man-made torchlight, however powerful it may be, can help one see the sun. The sun reveals itself, therefore, the action of different energies of the Lord or the personality of Godhead himself can be realized by the light manifested by the causeless mercy of the Lord. The impersonalists say that God cannot be seen. God can be seen by the light of God and not by man-made speculations. Here this light is specifically mentioned as Vidyat, which is an order by the Lord to Brahma. This direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. Not only Brahma, but anyone who may be graced by the Lord to see such merciful and direct internal energy can also realize the personality of Godhead without any mental speculation. Omagyan Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as we said last week, the entire Vedic literature, according to Lord Chaitanya, is divided into three categories of knowledge. There is Sambandha Jnana, Abhideya Jnana, and Prayojana Tattva. The first two verses of Chaturshloki begins in verse 33 and goes to verse 36. The first two verses are Sambandha Jnana. The 35th verse is Prayojana, and verse 36 is Abhideya Jnana. So, Sambandha Jnana means our relationship with Krishna. Prayojana means the goal, and Abhideya means how to attain Krishna. So this is all described. These are the seminal verses of the Bhagavatam. This is what Brahma heard at the very beginning of creation, just these four verses. And then he described these verses to his son, whose name is Narada. And then Narada has expanded them, and we have the Bhagavatam, and we have the 18,000 verses. And in other places in the universe, the Bhagavatam is bigger than this. We only have 18,000 verses on this planet, because that is more than enough for us. Most people cannot even read the whole book. Even a lot of devotees have never read the whole book. We have 18,000 verses, but there's far more which is there. And it all comes from this original four verses. So the first two verses are discussing Sambandha. And specifically, the first verse, which is 33, it discusses Jnana. And the second verse discusses Vijnana. So what is the difference between Jnana and Vijnana? And Jnana means knowledge or understanding. Things as they should be, or things as they are clearly described. Vijnana means to act on that knowledge. Vijnana means wisdom, or enlightenment, or what's the other word that we always say for Vijnana? Realization, like that. It means to realize the knowledge. Jnana means you have knowledge. Vijnana means that you act on the knowledge. And there's a huge difference between the two. Everyone has the knowledge. Prabhupada said you have to understand this philosophy theoretically. So we all theoretically understand it. Right? We all know that we're not the body, we are the soul. But do we realize we're not the body, we're the soul? None of us realize that. We don't have that perception or concept fully understood. We don't have Vijnana at this point in time. We have Vijnana developing. To some point, we realize we're somewhere in between ignorance and enlightenment. We have some degree of understanding that we are not the body, we're the soul, and we realize it to some degree, but we don't fully understand it yet. Because Vijnana, in its total manifestation, ultimately means prema bhakti, and prema bhakti means you understand your swarup with Krishna, which means that you see yourself as different from the material energy. At this point in time, we are mixed. We understand, theoretically, that we are not part of the material energy, but every day we still act as if we are part of the material energy. We still identify with the material energy. And what is the connection, or what is the bridge, or what is the the connection between the two, between matter and spirit? What connects our soul or spirit to matter? Mind helps a lot. It's good, you're right, but there's one element which is the direct connection between the two. Yeah, ultimately it's ahankara. False ego is the connection between the two, because the material world is made of eight major elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. So it is described that our universe is something like 311 trillion yojanas wide, something like that. The universe is huge. But then, covering the universe, the first element which covers the universe, from coming from in to out, is Earth. And it says the Earth is 10 times larger than the universe itself, the covering of the Earth. And then the covering of the water, which is the next element, is 10 times larger than that. And then the fire is larger, and then the air is larger, and then the ether is larger, and the mind is even bigger. And then the intelligence is even bigger, and the false ego is bigger than everything put together. So it is the false ego which is between, that is the most subtle of the energies, and that is in between the spiritual world and this material world. Right? It is the false ego. It's extremely subtle. And it allows our soul to be encased by the material energy. And it's because of false ego that we misidentify with the material world. We think this material world is real. And that is the definition of Maya. How do we define Maya? How does Prabhupada usually define it? He says, that which is not. So we think that this is real, but factually, it is not real. Or Prabhupada describes, it is real. It's not that, you know, it's not that it does not exist. There is reality here. This material world exists. But the material world is temporary. And therefore, it is not real in the sense that the Bhagavatam describes the material world as being a dream. So we're in a dreamlike state of existence. So a dream is not really real. Although something is happening. Just like when you're dreaming, you're experiencing something. Right? Something is being perceived, something is being experienced, but it's not real. In the sense that when you wake up, it's not there anymore. But when you're in the dream, you think, oh, this is real. This is really happening. But then you wake up and, oh, no, that's not really happening. So the material world is like that. And why is it that we can identify so heavily and so perfectly and so deeply with this material energy? Why do we get so engrossed in it? Because of the false ego. So we're so engrossed in this material energy, right? It means so much to us, right? But it's just a dream. It passes in a flash. It doesn't really exist, but we're so absorbed in it. It is so important to us, right? This is important to me, and that is important to me, and I must have this, and I must do that before I die, right? And I must attain this. And if I don't marry that person, my life is useless. Right? And then we have all of these misconceptions, but this is all false. Because the entire thing is only passing very, very quickly. And this is how we are taught by the Vedic knowledge. The whole thing just disappears very quickly. The Bhagavatam describes that the relationships we have in the material world, it's just like in the ocean when the seaweed comes together. So all the seaweed comes together and then it separates. So that's what takes place in the material world. It all comes together and we're with all these people and then suddenly we're not. Right? Like in 1 minute, in 1 second, it's all gone and we're not together anymore. Right? But we all came together and it means everything and then it disappears again. So Maya means that which is not. You think it is real, but it is not real. It is temporary. And this is Gyan. This is what the first verse of Chaturshloki, this is Sambandha, Gyan. This is reality. Right? But Vigyan means we realize that reality. Vigyan means I understand that this is not real. It is just temporary. It is real, but it is temporary. It is just a dream that I'm going through. It is just something which I'm experiencing because I misused my independence in relationship to Krishna. And misusing my independence, I became covered by false ego. Because when you travel into this material world from the spiritual world, you get covered by the material energy as you travel in. So the first thing you get covered by is the false ego. Because you enter. And the false ego covers you. Millions and millions and millions and millions of miles of false ego. Right? Just covers us. Then the intelligence covers us. That's why we're so intelligent. Because we go through so much intelligence. Then we go through the mind. Travel right through the mind. Right? And then that covers us. And then we get the ether, the air, the fire, the water, the earth. We get a gross body. And then suddenly we take birth. in this material world, and here we are. Right? But it is false, because this body we're in is false. Right? It does not last. Right? And the mind and the intelligence, that is also false. What's the mind is false. How can we prove the mind is false? Because we change our mind every 5 minutes. So it's totally false, right? You think the person who you like the most or you love the most or you're most attached to in this world, tomorrow you hate that person, right? So how is that real, right? Or the person you hate the most, tomorrow you love them. So that's not real. That's all based on a misconception. So everything in this material world is temporary, it is false. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. The Bhagavad Gita clearly says, you are dreaming. This is just a dream that we're going through. But at this point in time, we are fully engrossed in the dream. You're in the dream and you don't want to wake up because it's so nice here in the dream. But the dream finishes. Right? The dream does not last. And then we go into a new dream. Next lifetime is just another dream. Right? It's a different dream, and then we think, oh no, this is the right dream. Right, the famous example in the Vedas is Indra became cursed by Brihaspati. Right, take birth as a pig. Right, so then Indra, king of heaven, extremely powerful, he takes birth as a pig. Right, but then he becomes attached to his wife, right, the sow, because she is so beautiful. Right. Right. She oinks so nicely. But he becomes attached, so attached. Right? And then he has three kids, right? Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Right? And he is so attached to his kids. They're so cute. Right? Have you seen the little pigs? Right? So cute. Right? Maya gives the material energy. This is Maya Shakti. Right? It's mentioned in the Vedas. Maya Shakti gives the newborn or the young species, it gives them a special Shakti of cuteness. I don't know what the word is in Sanskrit, but everything is cute when it is little. That's why, because if it wasn't cute, then the mother and father would not become so parental and they would not develop such a desire to look after. But because it is so cute, then you just want to look after. So it is so beautiful, this little cute piglet. Like that. So then he is attached. So then finally Brihaspati comes down. Oh, I think it's Brahma actually. Does anyone remember the detail? It's Brahma. So Brahma himself comes down and Brahma says, Indra, time to come back. He says, no, I'm not leaving my wife and I'm not leaving my children. He says, don't you understand? You're going to die tomorrow. Right? And then he gives him a darshan, a vision of what will take place tomorrow when he gets killed, slaughtered by the farmer, and then eaten. And then he comes to his senses, and then he goes back and he takes the position of Indra once again. But then the nature of the material energy is that you become detached momentarily, but then we become attached very quickly again. Right? And it says we become detached, especially under three circumstances. One is in the Bhagavad Gita class. Right. We're all sitting here right now and we're all saying, yes, this is true. The Bhagavad Gita is true. Right? It's all true. I'm completely detached. Right? And then you walk out into the courtyard and you see one brahmacharini and then suddenly you're attached again. So how long does it last? Right. Secondly, it says when you're in the crematorium, you're detached. Right? When someone's being burnt, have you ever been to the crematorium you've actually seen?
Yeah.
Or in India? A couple of years ago, I was in Mayapur and near Guna Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he passed. So we took his body to the Ganga and then we, not us, but some devotees, they made a huge fire of wood, and they put his body in the wood and then they set light to it and then the whole thing burned away like that. So we saw it all taking place. Right? His body was just burning in front of our eyes. Right? So everyone was completely detached. Right? But then next day you go after Guru Puja, and then they're selling pizza. Right? And then everyone's just fully back in the material world again. Right? Back into sense gratification. Right? So even though we become detached very quickly, but then we become attached very quickly again to the material world. So when you're at the crematorium, when you're in the Bhagavatam class, and when you're sick, right? It says when you're sick, you become very detached. This material world is a horrible place. Right? I completely detach from my material body. It is just a source of suffering. But as soon as you get better again, then you're back into it. Even Prabhupada had one disciple, and he found out that he was going to die in 6 months. This devotee was told by the doctors he had leukemia, some cancer, and you will die in 6 months. So Prabhupada gave him Babaji initiation. Prabhupada only two times he gave Babaji initiation because devotees were going to die. So they came to Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, I'm going to die. What should I do? Prabhupada said, you immediately become Babaji. You just chant Hare Krishna. So then that devotee, he was given Babaji by Prabhupada. Babaji Vaish, he just absorbed himself in chanting and Krishna consciousness. But then he went back to the doctor. The doctor said, it's okay. The leukemia is in recession. All right, it's not, you're not going to die. So then he blooped. Right? And he went back to the material world. So where is the realization? Right? We all have gyan, but where is the vigyan? Where is the realization? So Krishna is trying to help us as much as he can. Right? Krishna wants to help us, right? So why does he make the material world so miserable? Dukala, dukalayam, ashashvatam. Why does Krishna make it like this? Because he's trying to help us. Because if the material world is perfect, right, then we won't become detached. Because our nature is that we are so attached, and even after the multiple lessons which Krishna gives us all through our life, that this place is miserable. Do you agree this place is miserable? Right. Have you had experience that this place is miserable? What do you think? How old are you? Nine. Do you think this world is miserable? Or what do you think? You do. Okay, so he's only nine, he's already had realization. Right. After 9 years, he realizes this place is miserable. So this is what happens to all of us. Right. I'm 44, 45, you're 25, you're 60, whatever you are. So how many times have we gone through our life, have we thought, this place is just miserable? How many times have we said, I'm just completely detached from this world from now on? Right? But then next day we're straight back into it again. You know? So Krishna is trying to help us. That's why he says in Gita, it is dukalayam. I will make it miserable for you. Right? He is standing there with a smile on his face, right, playing his flute, right, and he's saying, I'm going to make this as miserable for you as I can. Right? So that you will detach yourself from it. Because if it is not miserable, we will never become detached. We will just remain like Lord Indra, and we'll just be like pigs, and we'll just stay in this material world. Right? And what does the Bhagavatam say? The reason we stay in this material world, what is that verse? Deha pacha kalatra dishu atma sanyesh wa satswapi. Bhagavatam says, deha pacha, deha apacha kalatra, Adishu. All of these things we're attached to because of one reason. Because of sex life. Right? Sex life is the bondage which keeps us in the material world. Right? It is subtle sex life. It's more than gross sex life. Subtle sex life is more powerful than gross sex life. It's just the attachment to the opposite sex. It is attachment to a man or to a woman or like that. That is the binding feature in this material world. And because of that, we will stay here happily for lifetime after lifetime. Even though we are miserable, but we will stay here. Deha means my material body. Why am I attached to my material body? Because I can enjoy sex life. Subtly and grossly. Right? Apacha. Apacha means I will have children, offspring. Right? And attachment to the children is so powerful. Right? It is the most powerful thing. Prabhupada says that the closest thing to pure devotion is the love of the mother for the child. Right? It is so powerful. It binds us in this material world. We should not misunderstand that. It doesn't mean we should not be loving and attached to our children. We should be. But Prabhupada said it should be in a balanced way. You should understand that this material world is temporary, but at the same time you should love them unconditionally. Right? But at the same time, in the back of your mind, you understand it's all going to finish one day. Like that. Apacha, kalatra. Kalatra means the wife or the husband. And adishu means your paraphernalia. Right? We have unlimited paraphernalia in this material world. As soon as you get a wife, then that's it. Right? It's just paraphernalia. Right? Wife, children, and then unlimited paraphernalia. Right? You know, one television is not enough. You have to have more televisions. My grandfather, he has 6 televisions. Right? This is ridiculous. 6 televisions. You can be in any room of the house and watch television. Right? And his big one's about as big as that wall, that green space of wall. It must be like, I don't know, 12 foot by something. It's massive. Right? Just absorbed. And this is paraphernalia, adishu. Right? Because you want to enjoy sex life, you want to enjoy away from Krishna, and then the paraphernalia just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then what happens? It's all taken away at the time of death. All of it. Do you want to spend your last moments just watching television or movies, right, up until your last moment? So therefore, it is described that we need to develop vijnana. Vijnana means realization. Right? And then the next verse, which we'll go into tomorrow, discusses prayojana. Prayojana means the goal. And what is the goal? It is love for Krishna. It is love for Krishna. In a specific stayi bhav. Stayi bhav means a permanent. Stayi means permanent, fixed. It means a fixed relationship. All of us have a fixed relationship with Krishna. Nitya siddha, Krishna prema. Krishna prema, or love for Krishna, is nitya. It is within us. It needs to be brought out. We need to understand what our relationship is with Krishna. And you cannot go back to the spiritual world until you develop a desire to understand your particular relationship with Krishna. And how do we develop our particular relationship with Krishna? Right? That is in the final verse of the Chaturshloki. What does the final verse discuss? Abhideya. And what is Abhideya? Is the process. And what is the process? What is discussed in that final verse? The words are, in Sanskrit, is tad angam. So what is the process? Yeah, very good. Sadhana bhakti, right? Sadhana bhakti, which is what we are doing every day. Sadhana means practice. Practice means regularity. It means to get to Krishna, you can realize your sarup with Krishna. It's not impossible, right? It's not beyond comprehension, or it's not beyond attainment. We can understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. In fact, we are meant to understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. In fact, we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. But how do we reawaken that? How do you bring the fire out of the wood? Because the relationship is there in your heart, but how do you ignite it? How do you bring it out? Right? That is sadhana. That is why we are chanting our rounds every day. Why are we chanting our rounds? Right? Because you have to. Right? Because that's what Hare Krishnas do. Because then you'll get Rasgullas. I just hurry, 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 hurry. Yeah. Look at the japa a lot of the time. But what is that? How many rounds do you chant unmindfully? How many rounds do you chant unconsciously? How many rounds do you chant when you're meditating on something completely different? And be very careful, because the holy name is Chintamani. Nama Chintamani, Krishnas, Chaitanya, Rasa, Vigraha. The holy name can give you anything. Anything. Any desire in your heart can be granted. So you be very careful. If you're chanting, but you're meditating on something completely different, you might get that. Right? And it's not actually what you want. It's not what is actually good for you. It is not what the soul is craving for. So therefore, when we are chanting, we have to be very mindful. What is our goal? Our goal is to reach Krishna, is to have a relationship with Krishna. So that is the abhideya, So it will be described in the next two verses. Tomorrow we'll hear about Prayojana, begin to hear about Prayojana, and then the final verse will be the Tad Angam. Tad Anga. So what does Anga mean? Anga. Gauranga. Gaura Anga. Anga means? Yeah, limbs. Limbs. Paths. Anga. Anga. So bhakti has many limbs. Krishna gives in the end of the Gita. He says, Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskri. He gives you four limbs of bhakti. Think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage unto me, and
worship
me. Right? And then from that four expands nine, which is given by Prahlad Maharaj in Canto 7. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. And then Rupa Goswami takes the nine and then he expands it into 64. Right? So this is the Tad Anga. This is how to reach Krishna. This is our sadhana. So by practicing this Abhideya, or this Tad Anga, this bhakti, this is how we reach Krishna. This is how we reawaken our love for Krishna, which is dormant in our heart. Now, if you look at those 64 angas, right, one of the angas is putting on tilak. Right? And I've been here in the courtyard sometimes, and Jayapataka Swami, he just walks up to devotees. You know, there's like a group of devotees standing in the courtyard, and he walks up, and he said, have you got tilak on all the nine places in your body? Is it nine? 12. Maharaj walks up and he says, have you got tilak on all 12 places in your body? Or do you just put it here? Like that. Is it everywhere where it should be? Like that. So this is an anga of bhakti. Why do we do that? Because it pleases Krishna. And you can put on your tilak and you can attain prema. You can attain love for Krishna just by putting on your tilak with devotion. How does Radharani put on her tilak? Right? It has to be perfect for Krishna because it's for Krishna's pleasure. Does Radharani wear tilak? Do you ever see any of the deities of Radharani wearing tilak? She doesn't have tilak on, right? You know why? Because it's the same color as her skin. Because she is Gaurangi, right? And the tilak is the same color. So she actually has tilak, but we can't see it. Because it's exactly the same, but it's perfect. She does it for Krishna perfectly. Because this is for Krishna's pleasure. So that is the way that we should put on our tilak. It should be done with bhakti, with devotion. Krishna is going to see me today. So I have to look paka. I have to look nice for his pleasure. Not for that brahmachari's pleasure. Or for that brahmacharini's pleasure. We dress because we want to attract the opposite sex. That is material consciousness. But a devotee, a pure devotee, he dresses for Krishna's pleasure. So I want to look nice for Krishna's pleasure. Right. So every item of bhakti, which is given to us by Rupa Goswami, then that is meant to lead to love for Krishna. It is to invoke our Krishna consciousness. So everything that we do must be done for Krishna's pleasure. That is the message of the Bhagavatam, Tadangam. So in the fourth verse, we'll hear about the process, how to get to Krishna. Tomorrow we'll begin to hear about the Prayojana, what is the goal. Right? And the last two verses have described the sambandha, the relationship between Krishna and everything in Krishna's creation. So we'll stop here. I want to see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
Between attachment and devotion and gift of identity.
Yeah, okay. So, what is the relationship between attachment and aversion and the Yukta Vairagya principle? So, that's a good question. That's a very good question. So, attachment, if we become averse to something, that means we're still attached to it. So, that's not vigyan. That's not realization, right? Because I'm attached to this thing, but the next day I'm averse to that thing. And what is the best way to understand that? That's called marriage. Right? I'm attached to this person, but tomorrow I'm completely detached from that person. Why did I marry that person? I must have been mentally insane when I married that person. Right? But then the next day, oh, this person is perfect. And then the next day, right, I must have been crazy. Right? And the next day, oh, this person is right for me. So that is attachment and aversion, right? So that is all based on, that's not based on vigyan, that's not based on realization. Yukta Vairagya means that you understand everything is meant to be used in the service of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he teaches us what is Yukta Vairagya. He says, my wife, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a wife, what was her name? Bhagavati. Right. And how many children did Bhaktivinoda Thakur have? 9 children? It was a lot of children. You see the picture. He has 9, 10, 12. I can't remember how many it was, but he had a lot of kids. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many children, a pure devotee wife, right? And he himself is pure. He is the Grihastha Acharya. He is the emblem of Grihastha. Most people in Kali Yuga are Grihasthas. If you want to understand how to be a Grihastha, then just meditate on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the Acharya, right? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes, my wife, my children, my home, everything is meant to be used in your service, my Lord. That is Yukta Vairagya. So that is when we see, or that is when we develop pure consciousness, or vigyan, or realization. It is not my wife. Right? It is Krishna's servant. It is not my children. They are Krishna's servants. And I am the caretaker. Does that make it clear? Is that okay or not? Not so good. What is the definition of Yukta Vairagya? He's seven. Same thing. Same yin. Yad yad acharati shtristas. Krishna says in Gita, Mahajanyena gata sapanta. That is the process. Process you follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's not, Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived 150 years ago and I'm living now and now it's all different. It's not different. The world is different. But the principles are the same. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw his wife and children and home as Krishna's energy. So what do you do now? You're living in Elba Park, you have wife, children and home. You see that as Krishna's energy. What's the difference? There is no difference. What is the definition of Yukta Vairagya? Then you read the verse. It is given by Rupa Goswami. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchite. What is the definition? Right? Krishna Sambanda. Can I connect this to Krishna? Then I use that in his service. Nirbanda. If this cannot be connected to Krishna, I reject it. Right? You can't connect everything in this world to Krishna. Right? You can't kill an animal and then offer the flesh to Krishna. So we reject it. Nirbanda means I reject that. No animal slaughter. Right? I can pick the vegetables, right, and then I can cook them and offer them to Krishna. That's Krishna Sambanda. That can be connected to Krishna. So that's Yukta Vairagya. Is that clear? Okay. Any other question?
Do we need to realize everything by experience only?
Do we need to realize everything by experience only? There's three types of intelligence. One is first class, one is second class, one is third class.
First class means you just hear it and you will act on it your whole life. Right? How many people have that kind of intelligence? Very few. Right? One person who has that intelligence is Bhanuswami. Now, Bhanuswami has that kind of intelligence. Right? Just hears it and he understands. Right? He looks at this material world, he understands it's false, and then that's it. Right? Doesn't get associated with it. But most of us are second class. We come to Bhagavatam class. Hands up if you agreed with everything which was spoken today. Right? We all agree with it. It all makes sense. But then we go out and then do we act on it? That is second class. So for most of us, we have to go through experience. We know the philosophy. We know that Maya will burn us. We know that material energy will give us suffering. But still, we have to get engaged in that. So Krishna understands that. Krishna is very kind and he understands that we are conditioned. Therefore, in the Varnashram system, he gives you Grihastha life. And what is the purpose of Grihastha life? You have material desires, but you regulate it in Krishna's service, and you will suffer. Because Prabhupada said, man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. It's the nature of the material energy. So therefore, we have to experience suffering. We have to experience it. That's the only way you can become detached from this material world. I was in Sydney the last time that my spiritual master came to Sydney, to Australia. And Indrajumna Swami was in the class. And Indrajumna Swami said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, can you become Krishna conscious without suffering? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, no, you cannot. You have to suffer. If you're very advanced, like Bhanuswami, maybe you don't have to suffer because you're already Brahma, Bhuta, Prasannatma. But for the rest of us, we have to go through suffering. Why do we suffer? To detach. I think so. Is that okay? Did I wreck your life? Okay.
You might already explain this, and I'm sorry if that's the case, but in the verse it says, it is without relation to me. How do you know what is relation to Krishna and what isn't? There are the obvious things, but how do you know?
How do you know? By guru, sadhu, and shastra. So you need a guru. You need gurus. You need people who can guide you. Because we all get bewildered very quickly. My spiritual master once said, he said, I don't trust any one person's mind, including my own. So you never make a decision by yourself. Little decisions you can make. You know, you go to the supermarket, you know, should I buy this brand or... you know. You don't get on your phone and say, you know, send a text and say, you know, shall I buy this or shall I buy that? You know what to do. But in terms of big things, you have to make the decision by consulting your authority. Right? So you have guru, you have sadhu. Sadhu means saintly people, devotees. And you have shastra, right? The scriptures. So that's how you know not to make mistakes. And if you follow that, because the triangle is perfect, it's a three-way checking system. Because if the guru begins to deviate, right, we have sadhu and shastra. The sadhus will say, that's not correct. And the shastra says, that's not correct. Right, so that way it's a checking system. So we always know if there's any deviation, we know that we can detect it. So if you live under the guidance of guru, sadhu and shastra, you won't have any problems in your life. Okay. Any other question? Yeah, Krishna puts it on. Every morning he puts it. So why does he do it? Is he egocentric? I am God, so I will worship myself. No, because he is a devotee of Narayan. Because if you go to Vrindavan, in Vrindavan the pastimes are human-like, which means... In Vrindavan, everyone's in a village. Krishna is a cowherd boy in the village. His father is Nanda Maharaj and his mother is Yashoda. And they live in a village called Nandagram. And in Krishna's palace, which is on the top of Nandagram, Nanda Maharaj has a temple
of Narayan. So they offer all, they cook everything, and then they take the bhoga and they offer it to Narayan, and then they give Krishna the prasad. Because they're not thinking Krishna is God. They're thinking he is my son. So that's why. So that's why Krishna wears, because he's a devotee of Narayan. He's a Vaishya. He's teaching us we should be devotees like that. Any other question? It's not a story, but it's a description. So I've heard it over the years. I can't remember where, like that, but it's described. I'm pretty sure I've heard Tamal Krishna Maharaj describe it. I've heard it described several times by senior devotees. So that's the. She wears tilak. I mean, why would she not wear tilak? Krishna's wearing it. Why would she not wear it? It's just we can't see it. That's all. That's all. Yeah, okay, so. But she does wear tilak. It's described. But we just cannot see the tilak because she is golden and tilak is also golden. So. Any other question? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.